has shifted.
Welcome back, new you maniacs, to the spinner rack here at season 5 of the new Marvel New Universe Comics podcast. It's not new. I'm reading things out of order. The voice of the new universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with DP7 number 30 and
And Andy, I guess I just get to do the letters.
weak.
Boo. Oh well.
Poor.
That's fine. That's fine. The new universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel, dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we're headed into 1989. Christmas, in fact, I think we're getting here. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit and creating some new twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, maybe only two, and they all
Ouch.
seem to be heading towards war.
War.
Both literally in the story and a book called The War. With our podcast, of course, you can follow us along each week and we'll go through each remaining comic, the order they came out, or just check out individuals if you already have a favorite. You can also find us at kickersinc.com and on X. Take a break from the election stuff. No, I guess it'd be over by now. Let's take a break from the post-election craziness that might happen and
If
just
you're
follow
still
Kickers
counting the
Inc.
ballots at the time you hear this,
Then
something's
we're
gone
in
terribly
trouble.
wrong.
At Kickers Inc., folks, way better.
This week we get back to the busy DP7. The displaced paranormals fight a never-ending battle to survive in a brave new world where the fantastic has become commonplace. Is that better? I don't know.
Oh, it's fancy.
It's from the new inside cover text. Marvel Age solicit for this week's issue, DP7 number 30. There's a three-way battle in the making when DP7 team not only meets up with the self-appointed protector of New York, Captain Manhattan, but also the world's first paranormal street gang, the Paratroop. The Tree is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, and inked by Danny Bullinati. 32 pages. Mondo paper. Direct sales only. $1.50.
And yeah, we have mail this time, which is kind of special. So mail.
Always.
We don't always get mail.
Always appreciate it when we do the whatever peek inside the mind of the fandom in the late 80s. It's a treat.
See if they got it right like we do all the time. Some strong opinions on the now universe thing coming up, so.
Oh my. Yes. Anyway, so fun stuff to wrap us up with, but let's go ahead and kick off our look at DP7 number 30, which is cover dated April 1989, and we believe hit the stands January 3rd, 1989. So here we are, the first books that we think came out in the new year, which is ironic considering this is a Christmas-themed issue. But
Still fits.
yeah, it's during the holidays, I guess, broadly speaking. The looking at the schedule, there was only a couple of books came out in December, so I don't know if this was there was like the original schedule had this come out a couple weeks earlier or something, but. We are where we are, and we are in New York City still. The cover has a very bold presentation of a dude in a gaudy superhero costume.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what the new universe was invented to get away from. Well, maybe not. Anyway, it has a introducing Captain Manhattan, which is in a sort of art deco logo typeface. You can see the skyline of Manhattan behind them, and there's a it's kind of a snowy scene with just him sort of in the forefront with a triumphant pose, and the other the DP7 or 6 are sort of arrayed behind him, all kind of shocked and dismayed.
Gasping and posing, I would like to say.
Yeah, introducing Captain Manhattan. Are you hero or villain? I guess we'll see.
I mean, he definitely doesn't look like a villain.
I guess subvert some expectations here later, though. We got a the inside text on the front in the front cover, as I said, is a little updated. They go on at length about the White Event, July 22nd, 1986. Two people out of every million have manifested paranormalities. So 8,000 paranormals in the world's population of 4 billion back at that time. 500 paranormals in the United States alone. And then it continues with the total disintegration of Pittsburgh on December 22nd, 1987. And they don't mention at all why it's always on the 22nd. Instead of the 19th, which is what it said in the first comic book. But anyway,
Hey, close enough.
retcons, retcons. The splash page is nice. It is a scene that's actually similar to something that appeared in Marvel Age Annual number 4, which had a sort of some punks threatening the DPs when they get to New York City. This one's a little more toned down. We have Stephanie and her three kids and Jenny Swenson walking along a New York City street. It specifies December 15th, 1988, Lower Manhattan. And we have Jenny and Swenson holding a Christmas tree, probably. Stephanie and her kids all walking along a dilapidated urban set street. There's a thing that says December 15th, 1988, Lower Manhattan. Lower East Side was pretty rough, I think, at that time. So even in the real world. We've got the title up above, The Tree. Is it the one that Jenny's holding? Maybe. Stay tuned. So we've got these three punks in gas masks on the side of the page. And you can make out kind of across the street, there's another three or four in shadows, which I missed the first time. But our DPs are say our the kids are talking about putting the decorating the tree, and Stephanie, in a very relatable bit, says, can I put the tinsel on the tree, Mommy? Only if you try to spread it around a bit this year and not hang it all on the same branch." If you have kids, that's yeah. Anyway,
Wad of tinsel in your household's past.
Yeah, it was like every little ornament was on one branch. You know, I'm not quite sure that's where it works. We've got the punks talking amongst themselves. "Two uptown broads ought to know better than walk around down here in skeevo turf. We just have to teach them a lesson." Skeevo turf, I assume means that their gang is the skeevos.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Skevo controlled area in my hometown that I usually avoid, so.
We all gotta watch out for that. But interestingly, Andy had pointed out the upper left hand, obscured by the DP7 logo, there's what appears to be a poster on the wall behind these punks. That poster seems to be an ad for the upcoming Quasar series that Gruenwald and Ryan are going to do after the end of the DP7 run.
Oh, you saw it as a poster. I just saw it as like, the edge of the comic universe is peeling away and Quasar is hidden underneath or something. Like,
Yeah, there's a
because
it's
you can't see
something.
like the top and left hand sides,
Yeah, you're
But yeah,
right.
but
Is
yeah,
it
I see it
bleeding
now.
through? Oh no. We got some universes colliding already. Anyway, we turn the page and these punks accost the women and the children. Merry Christmas, the mommies and kiddies. We're taking up a collection for the orphanage. So, you want to donate or you want us to strip search you? The Stephanie grabs the kids close to her, and Jenny just tells them, "Look, guys, look, tough guys, you are picking on the wrong babes. Take yourselves a favor and take off." They just think she's feisty. So Steffi or Jenny starts punching and possibly also kicking them
Well, she
and tells
smashes one
Steffi
with the
to back up.
Christmas tree.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I do like the punk stuff too, though. Like one guy's got the one guy, clearly the head guy's got the gun. They got like a lead pipe, a knife, and a pair of nunchucks, or just a
Nunchucks.
nun singular nunchuck.
Right. Yeah, there's a variety. Actually, no, the gas masks is interesting because they said before the air in New York City is now even worse.
Yeah.
But it sort of goes well with the punk motif. They're kind of somewhere between, you know, the Warriors era New York gang and futuristic post-apocalyptic gang. They sort of walk a line in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jenny is holding one above her head. I warned you, punk. Stephanie tries to get them away, her kids away. And someone tries stabbing Jenny from the back. Slice her down to size. This just pisses her off. It destroys his knife, and she's notices, "You tore my brand new jacket." He gets the back of the hand right into a garbage can. I think Stephanie is lifting a couple of guys and bonking their heads into each other, or she just tore someone's head off. A lot to do in front of your
Also like
kids.
that Jenny's like dumping the guy fully head first into the trash can.
That is good. Yeah. It's going well, but then one of the punks, green-haired Mohawk guy, grabs Emily, the older kids, and holds her at knife point. "Listen to me. You chicks may be red hot kung fu mamas, but unless you want little snookums here to have a very nice sore throat, fork over your loot." Now, he's a chatty Cathy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, Stephanie is, of course, horrified. Jenny says, just give them what they want, except for that strip search part. I don't, not too into that. And suddenly there's a wind sound. Whoosh. What's he looking up at? It's a costume superhero.
You object?
No, I'm not making any editorial comments at this point till I'm ready to. This anyway, someone's coming down out of the sky, and it's the Captain Manhattan that was you saw on the cover. It's orange and blue color scheme. Does sort of disguise his face enough. Otherwise, it's fairly tightly close to the body suit and a big orange cape that's going to stick out. The punk there is, "I heard of you. You're that Captain Manhattan dude." Stephanie's words, things will get out of control here. "Relax, ma'am. Your child will be unharmed. You have my word." And then tells the punk to let her go. And he seems to like project force field, shield, something, beams.
It was really hard to tell what he had as a power at first, but I think later on he mentions force fields, yeah, because he just kind of like points and the knife goes flying.
Yeah, so he knocks the knife out of the punk's hand. He had also, we don't see it just yet, but he has an interesting way of flying that he's much more like standing on top of something like justice. than sort of this like swimming pose most of the flyers have. So he knocks the knife out of his hand, and then he knocks the guy flying into more garbage cans away from the kid. Child, go to your mother. He then jumps over to threaten the kid and throw up some more dialogue. Anyone who threatens children is lower than low. You've really made me mad, punk. You and your ilk have turned the city, my city, into a jungle where it is not safe for good people to walk down the street in the middle of the afternoon. Your kind sickens me, and here's one citizen who's not going to let you get away with this. Right-wing extremist. I don't know, man.
I was kind of thinking he's going to murder him at this point.
You can imagine Steph and Jenny being like, oh, well, what are you going to do? He instead starts flying with the punk sort of in tow. What are you going to do? Stop me. Stop that. I'm not a policeman, but I won't waste my time carting you to precinct and going to trial. No, what I do is dispense a little street justice. You're gonna drop me? He does drop him, but then he catches him. That old trick. Says that the streets of New York are already a mess because of a garbage strike. I've got something better to do with you. No. A minute later, he flies back, so we don't see what happens. So, okay.
Again, I'm kind of thinking at this point that he murdered him, but
The ladies are just like, wow. Well, the kid's like, wow, a superhero, like in the comics. Thank you. I call myself Captain Manhattan, although I'm not really affiliated with any sort of military organization, so I don't know how I got that. Are you for real? That cape and mask. Oh, I'm for real, all right. Real hot first chrome covered. No, I'm kidding. I'm just a concerned citizen who's using his God-given powers to make his corner of the world a better place. But a costume? Don't you feel a bit ridiculous? It's part of my image and protects my identity to boot. I did it first, but you get used to it. Well, he's really selling him on the costume idea. Maybe next week all the DPs will be in costumes.
I mean, honestly, the CIA squad kind of had costumes.
Yeah, those were good. The sort of freedom of action was pretty good with those. Anyway, I better speed up. Captain Manhattan talks a lot.
He
So,
does.
Jenny's like really dubious. You fly around town dressed up like something out of a comic book looking for wrongs to right just for the heck of it? No, out of the sense of social responsibility. Anyway, Steffi is like ready to go. This captain asks them if they are paranormals, and they're like, yeah. Jenny kind of grabs the Christmas tree they've been carrying, and she and Captain Manhattan walk home while they chat. Kind of flirting, maybe, I don't know. So how long you've been a superhero? Only about 3 months, he says. I didn't get my parabilities until last summer. After the Black Event, when all the weird, twisted paranormal showed up. Anyway, how long are you friend, you and your friend? How long have you been two of the select? An interesting phrase he uses there. She says, Steph for 2.5 years, and me a little less than 1 year. Anyway, it's only a 10-minute walk home. Captain bids them all well, says he is forming a citizens' coalition of paranormals to help patrol the streets. So far, there's just me and my buddy, Captain Brooklyn. He's a little rough around the edges, they tell me.
The rent's a little cheaper, but
Captain Queens, we're not really sure who's going to hold that down. Stephanie's like, no, thank you. Single parent to three children is all the responsibility I can handle. Welfare queen. And Jenny, dressing up in spandex still seems a bit kinky to me. What is going on with Jenny? last couple of issues she's been anyway, but she'll think about it. And she takes his card. He literally has a business card that says Captain Manhattan, Hero at Large, and has a couple of 555 telephone numbers.
High five, 5 1 2 3 4. He got a good one.
That's the one they always use. He says, I must be off. Crime never sleeps. Okay. Kids are impressed, at least. They go upstairs. They're living in a loft in Soho, and yet they complain about it constantly. Who could see the future when the rents you'd be paying for this place? We go inside, and Charlie has just finished giving Miriam Sorensen Sponge a haircut, and probably at the behest of the artist who was tired of confusing Stephanie and
Yeah.
Miriam in every scene.
So
Yeah,
she
can
gave
you?
the not mom character the mom haircut. So, whoops.
This is true. Miriam is probably younger than Stephanie. What they Steph tells Charlie they got mugged. Six street punks with knives and guns. I'm so sick of this city, all the filth, the rotten weather, my children being threatened. Why I haven't moved back to Sheboygan already, I don't know. Well, why don't you? You don't work for the CIA anymore. Live wherever you want. Okay.
Yeah, get out of here and let me at Dave Landers all by myself.
It's, oh, it's always funny because anyway, Stephanie says, how am I supposed to get home? I don't have a car and I can't take a public transport because I'm sparkling all the time. Okay. Jenny tells her we'll talk about it and think about it. Then Jenny talks about the mugging. Just teenage low-life street junkies marrying the kind you see hang around everywhere. We almost had them all nailed, Steph and me. But you should have seen who came to the rescue, a real gorgeous paranormal hunk in tight pants calling himself Captain Manhattan. Oof. Well, he's so gorgeous, why don't you invite him over for dinner, says Miriam. There aren't enough men to go around in our little group.
I'm
Some cool
liking the
stuff.
direction this comic's heading.
It's, oh, every page and every way it just gets better. Sometime later, back on the street, the punks are trying to get their colleague Mo, with the guy with the mohawk and the green hair, who has been tied maybe with his pants to a street lamp. So he's hanging there, I don't know, 20 feet off the ground. He tells his friends to not just cut him down and they should get a ladder. But suddenly, need some help, fella? We have Batman.
Man bat.
One of those. Relax. The name's Wild Thing. Totally not trademarked by DC Comics. Wild Thing. Have you down in shake? So he lands on the street lamp and somehow unties this or at least gets him off and brings him back down to his colleagues. Chill out, Mo. Dude must be one of the paratroops, says one of the punks. They really got all the really chillin' freaks signed up. Everyone else
They're
thinks this is the
like the most
ugliest.
relaxed of the freaks.
I guess so. Ah. Take it easy. We're the paratroop. We're not going to get all worked up over things. Come on.
Such a weird name.
Paratroop, yeah, is not one of these weird, like, abbreviation then noun names that Gruenwald's been running on us. ES People, DD Teens, Paratroop. Doesn't
Yeah.
kind of fit in, but okay, you know. Anyway, they get down and the guy starts getting his pants off and tells the Batman Wild Thing that it was Captain Manhattan. Then he light bulb goes on and he says, "Hey, you're with the paratroop, right?" You guys are supposed to be the baddest freaks in town, so how come you haven't settled the no good, the do good Nick's hash already? Well, things, I don't know. I just joined a few weeks ago. And yeah, take us to see your leader, Bats. We want to talk turkey. Okay, but let me warn you, the acid queen may chew you up and spit you out if she's in the wrong mood. Deep in the Lower East Side, a half hour later, we cut to the Black Shamrock, which I don't know why. I love the name of it's like scuzzy dive bar where all like paranormal punks hang out.
They
Black
named it
Shamrock.
appropriately, I guess.
Yeah, there's more bums and weirdos hanging out outside.
They got the classic car on blocks with no tires, the burning barrel trash bin with the hobos, yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah, they're inside. Wild Thing is taking them through the crowd, which looks even tougher than them. Which is there's like a couple characters on the left, a guy with a woman, and the guy is saying, "Check this out, Sheila, the dude I was telling you about." And I don't know. I thought maybe we were supposed to recognize any of these people, but I don't. I guess not.
Yeah,
It doesn't seem to be anyone from Merc, who also lived on the Lower East Side with around Priestess's thing, but perhaps they all took out off out of N New York by now. Anyway, as they're going through the crowd, there's a few comments. He goes to the back private room where welcome to the inner sanctum of the paratroop. Here's the power elite. Prepare yourselves. Aqualung. Purple Haze. Space Oddity. Acid Queen. Helter Skelter. Wipeout. And Wooly Bully. Wooly Bully?
they all songs?
I didn't recognize Acid Queen.
Yeah.
You got that one?
No.
I'll have to look it up later. Aqualung was Jethro Tull. Purple Haze was Jimi Hendrix. Space Oddity is a David Bowie. Helter Skelter was the Beatles.
Yeah.
Wipeout was oh man, what is that? That's a real old one.
Yeah. The like surfy kind of sound.
Right. And Wooly Bully was like Shem and the Pharaohs or something. Anyway, some real 50s stuff in there, but a few 70s as well.
Purple Haze just looks like oh, what was Angela Lansbury's character when she was solving
Jessica
mysteries?
Fletcher?
It's
She yeah the
like with the head of
she's a what
the
was her
PTA and then like a bunch of like toughs and goons.
yeah definitely the like the guys are a little more punky. Wipeout has a mask on, and Wooly Bully looks like a dwarf, basically from Middle Earth. He's pounding some weights. Acid Queen is I don't know, just sort of a young punk. But you're right, Purple Haze is the other woman who looks like a middle age, yeah, school principal, and she asks you for your. She helps you at the DMV, and by help, I'm being pretty generous.
Right.
They are all Caucasian? Yeah. The Acid Queen, as I say, young woman is standing and starts giving orders. Step aside, Wild Thing, and let the worms speak. So the Mo pipes right up. This Captain Manhattan guy, you heard of him? Well, he's one of you people. Ouch. Need to get racial here. A paranormal. Oh, okay. Me and the guys was just wondering why you heavy dudes don't put that sucker away already. We hear he's already been bending everybody's nose out of joint, but no one's done squat to nail him, except for the cops. So are you accusing us of being too chicken to mess with them? No, ma'am, it's just normal guys like us don't stand a chance against him in force bolts and shtick. It's up to you guys to rid us of that menace. Was he a lawyer in his previous life? I guess. Got to hand it to you, Boy Scout. You're pretty nervy for a worm. Aqualung, escort these small fry out. So they show him out. And Acid Queen, before she gets down to business, is like, Wild Thing, I want to have a little talk with you. All right, meeting time. All hands on deck. Got to call me on the floor in front of everybody. What's the idea of bringing little people in to see me like that? I didn't see anything. What's his name? Space? No.
Yeah, it's Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter. Grabs his shoulder from behind, and he's like screaming in pain. And I honestly couldn't tell with Helter Skelter. Is he just like have claw hands,
Kind of
maybe?
looks like it's just clawing, yeah.
Because he doesn't really, there's no like sign that he has a special something beyond that. So Acid Queen takes Wild Thing to task, that because to keep our reputation as the primo gang in all five boroughs, we've got to take Captain Cream Puff down, or else the small fry will spread the word that he's more than we can handle. I'm sorry, I just thought. So Acid Queen tells him he has to choose, and the Wild Thing says, "What do I do? I don't want to be kicked back on the street." Okay, I choose Wipeout. He said, "Hey, gas mask, everybody." Wipeout takes his gas mask off, and he leans close to Wild Thing. He says, "Sorry, George," and he's sort of there's like a green gas coming out of Wipeout's mouth.
Got the paranormal power of stink breath.
It is pretty rough. George, Wild Thing is thrown up on the floor in the next panel at the smell. And they say, okay, clean up, and we all got some planning to do. Does this look familiar to people? Perhaps it should. I think we
The puddle of vomit.
the characters may seem familiar to you. We'll let you think about who they might be. Meanwhile, in Soho, yeah, loft in Soho, we have Dave and Randy are visiting. Is they living there? Anyway, it's the children's bedtime. Stephanie has taken them to bed, and one of the kids doesn't want to kiss Dave good night. She says, "Dave and Randy are nice men, honey, but no, you don't have to. Just wait." Jenny talks to Randy a bit. I guess he has been working as a bike messenger, and it feels like, the years in medical school were, if not wasted, at least overpriced. How am I ever going to pay those bills back at this rate? No. She's asks him if he just flies around, and he says, "Yeah, usually with the sky is so gray, no one can spot me even." Well, Stephanie and I met another guy who could fly today. Ouch. He gave me his card. Captain Manhattan? Yeah, he fancies himself a costume crime buster, a superhero. Paranormal? Stephanie, wonder if that character could fly me back to Sheboygan. I hate this city. It's not a good place to raise children. They've all been hanging out here trying to make a go of it in this filthy, dehumanizing place. And I don't know why. I want to go back to Wisconsin. The sooner the better. Before Christmas, even. Dave is unhappy at this. She's serious. I've got to talk her out of it. What would you do back there, Steffi? I don't know. Move into my old house, get a job, figure something out once I get there. My theory was that her house was destroyed by the DD teens, although that has never been proven or
Yeah, it's
disproven.
probably at least condemned at this point, but I do kind of like that we're back to early Stephanie when they were like on the run, and she was just like hated having her powers and was kind of freaking out and just kind of complaining and miserable.
That's true. She
She's
was getting
filling the
very,
same role.
she had a lot of sort of self-confidence in those last couple of issues with the CIA, which, she was like a full spy, learning all the judo chops and taking command of a jungle mission.
And
Well,
they
maybe
ditched her.
not. Anyway, disaster, getting half the team killed, But it helped her. I don't know. Anyway, she says, "All right, what about the rest of you and anyone else getting fed up with New York?" Charlie isn't. Not me. I was planning to do some auditions after the holidays. And in the meantime, this amazes me. Waitressing is kind of fun. Okay. Jenny says she can't think of anywhere she'd fit in any better. Boston, Jenny, where you were a tenured professor at MIT. Sorry if I. Miriam just thinks she wants to be where Dave is. She doesn't say that out loud, luckily. It would embarrass everyone. Dave says Randy and he are still hiding out from the army. Big city is the best place to stay anonymous. He is also wearing Oshkosh B'gosh
That.
clothes in a size XXX large. Randy says, well, if it's what you really want to do, maybe we could all chip in on buy you a car or something. You could. I'd pay you back as soon as I could. Dave is standing there glowering.
It's giving him the stink eye.
It's a wonder. Isn't, Randy's head is still attached to his body by the next panel, but okay, settled. We'll see what we can do then. Oh, anyway, it's time for the official tree lighting ceremony. So why don't we go there for a treat too? So let's see, Charlie's off to bed. She rebuffs Randy's attempt to talk to her. Not tonight, Randy. I'm very tired. Yeah, right. He goes back to talk to Rand to Dave. Man, ever since she learned I got stuck inside the antibody, she's been avoiding me like the plague. She rearranges her old schedule just to avoid being alone with me. Real switch from early to what? Dave grabs him and is about to tear him up. What's with you, man? Helping Steph figure out a way to leave us? Come on, Dave. She's miserable here. If we're any kind of friends, she'll help. We'll help her do what she wants, I suppose. Anyway, Dave's been having a pretty good time with her last few weeks, all of them together again. And when Randy suggests to you, why don't you just tell her how you feel? He says, I can't bring myself to say it. She were to turn me down or laugh. Ah, forget it. Anyway, the next day, we have an interesting sort of panel layout where each of the, there's three panels arranged vertically because they sort of show parallel activities going on. And we see some various those sidewalk Santas walking or ringing a bell at a donation bucket or something. And each of them is getting attacked. You can kind of tell that they're by attacked by the paratroop members. And they're all kind of dragged off panel. What's going on? Anyway,
Somebody hates Santa.
that night at Rockefeller Plaza, there is a crowd scene, and I would assume these are friends of Paul Ryan's or Marvel staffers. I couldn't recognize anyone.
Yeah, a lot of faces look like they were drawn particularly to show the faces, yeah.
And so the kids are excited, and the various people in the crowd are jostling them. Auntie M, why are there so many Santa Clauses? I'm not sure, dear. Couple of the Santas are talking to each other, and yes, they are definitely paratroop. As soon as the tree's lit, Queenie says, let's do it. Think Cap'n Creep will come to the rescue? Count on it. Cap'n Creep? That's even better.
Oh, they
Don't,
would say like it's time to get Captain Crunched or something.
Are you ready for Cap'n Creep? Creep. Anyway,
That could be the
I'm.
Halloween version of Captain Crunch.
Interesting. Is there a do you ever watch the this is at the big tree ceremony in at Rockefeller Plaza. Do you ever watch that on TV or anything?
Maybe like a decade ago.
I don't know if there is there like a big ceremony beforehand, or
I don't
is it
know. I
just
mean,
kind
I
of.
imagine there's like a gathering and a countdown and turning on the lights for the first time kind of thing. I think that's a thing.
Okay. Yeah, I for some reason I thought it was kind of a long deal, but anyway, everyone sort of holds off until the lighting actually occurs, and there's big ooh from the crowd, and then two of the Santas start flying. What? That's their signal. Just don't drop me, Audie. So,
What are
Space
they trying to
Oddity.
assassinate the Prime Minister of England? Is that
That
what
was last year. That is
Oh, right.
so
Sorry.
last year. Come on. I don't. Why you had the Prime Minister of England do this for you? That's exactly what the whole revolution is designed to stop. Anyway, so Space Oddity flies, and he is carrying the dwarf guy, Wooly Bully. Some of, more faces in the crowd. Again, you could have Gruenwald and the rest of the Marvel crew in there. I don't know. With Jack Magna Conti. Or justice, I
Yeah,
don't
or justice, who knows?
know. The paratroopers get to the top of the tree, grab it by the star, and you got it, man? Yeah, start lifting. The DPs are in the crowd, like, what are they doing? Is this part of the show? Wait, someone should do something. They're stealing the tree.
What is this, Scooby-Doo?
There's just like one cord, like power cord running out the bottom. Seems a little silly. And the bottom is instead of like it's just like a wooden cross, as you
Right,
would
yeah.
with like a home tree. I don't know.
Shooter would be shaking his fist at that one.
Yeah, it's okay. I Anyway, you see the characters lifting the tree off, and yep, next page, Captain Manhattan said, "Hold it, you two. What'd I tell you? It's Cap'n Creep. See, I told you that was a better name. Let's just keep using that. Couldn't ask for better try. I mean, Captain M Manhattan, that belongs to the city and the people of New York. You have no right to. Eh, here's my right." The Wooly Bully punches him very strongly, sends the captain flying. And as his friend points out, that was your left, man. DP is down below. Jenny's saying, "That's Captain Manhattan, the man I was telling you about."
He's so dreamy.
She's focused on one dude in this crowd, and that's him. Wild Thing is, if. It's ironic that Charlie is giving Randy the brush off, and Jenny is like suddenly totally forgotten him completely too, apparently. Although, anyway, the couple more of the paratroop are coming through. Wild Thing, blow, wipe out.
Yeah.
Helter
Notably,
Skelter.
Wild Thing looks more like a pterodactyl now than a bat.
Oh, right. Yeah, I
It's
didn't
almost as
even
if he's
notice that
mutated or
until
something.
later. So yeah, it's like he mutates at a pretty fast rate. It's only been like a day later. Captain Manhattan has been knocked to the ground, and he says something about the sudden blow weakened his grip on his force field. The DPs say, "We got to go help him." Well, Jenny says, "We got to go help him," and the rest of them are like, worried about revealing themselves, so she says, "Disguise yourself somehow, David." And Randy says, "He's come."
I'll show you how to reveal ourselves, David.
Jenny is grabbing at her jacket. The two Santas and the heir throw the tree at Captain Manhattan, and he from the ground is trying to keep it from falling into the crowd. Only he sees that Wild Thing and Wipeout are running and flying towards him. And then we have the DPs coming to the rescue. Dave has wrapped a handkerchief around his lower part of his face, a baklava look. Randy is just flying as full antibody. And Jenny has just stripped off all her clothes except for her panties.
Woo.
I did not expect nudity to be Jenny's costume, but I'm supportive of it. Okay. The other three, Steph, Mary, and Charlie, are taking the kids away and trying to avoid being recognized. So we have Jenny and the two guys and Captain Manhattan on one side and the paratroop, which has seven plus Wild Thing. So eight members. Are they the new DP7? Wait a second. Whose book is this?
It'd be more like the Injustice League or whatever. What's the bad guys opposites of Justice League?
Yeah, Legion of Super Villains.
There you
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like you need a little help, Captain, says Jenny. She pulls. Oh man, I can't. I didn't. I had such a hard time with some of these guys' name.
that's Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter off. There's purple hazes in the background with a big purple cloud, but I don't think we see too much of her after
Yeah,
that.
she kind of shows up. Maybe she teleports or something,
I think, yeah, Captain Manhattan in the next panel is pushing her back with a big whump, so maybe that was enough to just take her right out of it.
but right.
So there's Wild Thing is saying, "Oh my God, I know that guy who hit me. That's Randy O'Brien from Wisconsin. Does he recognize me? Are you Philip Nolan Voigt?" So down below the it's just a free for all. Wipeout is using his breath power on Dave, who's taken aback, shall we say. Helter Skelter is trying to claw at Jenny, but it's just kind of bouncing off of her. What kind of bodysuit you wearing, Chicky? Wouldn't you like to know? And Captain Manhattan is faced off with Acid Queen. Dave sends Wipeout, or yeah, Wipeout flying. He just sort of, I guess, grabs him and tosses him, and he says he nearly lost his lunch if it weren't for the scarf. So actually, the scarf was pretty functional, wasn't
Yeah, I mean it's not the most deadly superpower if it can be defeated by a scarf.
it? It's true. Randy, who is flying, is stunned by deafening sound from Aqualung below him. So he has that sort of sonic power. It's not quite like Thunderhead in Psi-Force, but
Because he
it
doesn't have
seems
that
pretty
neat little thing to focus it.
to focus it. Yeah, there you go. Jenny is pose having a pose off, holding Helter Skelter over her head and asking Captain Manhattan what to do with it. So she throws him at Acid Queen, who's been fighting Captain, and that knocks Acid Queen out, and Acid Queen's like acid hands seem to be burning him. So that got both of them out of commission. You go back to Randy's on the ground. Dave's coming to help him. Aqualung is trying to beat him now. What are you supposed to be, Flyboy? You made out of coal or tar or coal tar, which is a coal derivative they used to use. Anyway,
Make all kinds of fun dyes with it.
that's what I hear. So Dave's trying to get him over to muffle him so he can't shout again. And we have a couple more characters flying in. Space Oddity is again bringing the dwarf in. Come on, Oddity, there's a brawl to end, and we're missing it. So the flying guy like drops the dwarf off with a cry of "Bums away!" It's okay, I liked it. Let's see. He flies off again. They're both working on Dave, who's, I guess, the bigger threat. Then the dwarf just punches Dave and sends him flying. So the dude is super humanly strong, as
Yeah, I'm not
rather.
sure how the physics works on that one, but
Yeah, it's another one of those
maybe they're on the ice. I don't know.
subverted expectations. Yeah, maybe ice there, you know, the skating rink. The Aqualung's sound attack uses it on Jenny, and she's taken aback. Although it does seem to have felt like a spillover onto his buddy Wooly Bully. Says to give him warning next time. The guy who flew off is being chased by Antibody and says, "Try and catch me." He looks behind. Looks like you Greaseball can't keep up. But he runs right into a force field generated by Captain Manhattan, who's kind of standing there. Nice going, Antibody. Yes, Antibody. We couldn't have done that better if we practiced. Back down below, Aqualung and Wooly Bully are running back at Dave. He's like, "That little runt's hard as iron. Can't let him hit me again." He picks up the Christmas tree and hits them both with it.
Yeah,
That's
basically like a baseball bat swing.
yeah. I know we were trying to save the tree, but instead I thought I'd swing it around like a baseball bat.
The tree seems
Anyway,
fine.
it does seem fine. They are tying up the various paratroopers and think that they've got them all. You can see in shadow some cops or maybe talking trees saying, "Should we move in? I'm not getting any closer without backup." Anyway, the crowd is pretty impressed. You've got Naked Jenny, Captain Manhattan, Antibody, and Mastodon. And the crowd is like, "What a show! Superheroes! Get autographs!" Looks like the
I mean,
crowd
Randy is
loves it.
more or less naked as well.
This is true. You never, well, it's. Ah, the DP nudes. I don't know what's going on. I think well, the captain uses his force field power to sort of lift them all up, so they're all flying away and all kind of just standing there. He says a mob's love can be as bad as its hate. Alley-oop. And this he. Flies Jenny and Dave with him. Randy's on his own through the city, and they sort of chat as they go. They don't know how long the police will be able to hold these paranormals, but Captain says, "Thanks to my vigilante activities, the police would be glad to trade the lot of them to have me in custody." Anarcho-tyranny—that's what we live under in 1989 already. Amazing. Cops, you know, won't bother stopping people unless there's something in it for them.
Well,
Captain
they
Manhattan
didn't want to get
is.
squashed by all the paranormal people.
That's also possible. As they're flying by, someone in the shadows on
It
the
for your
rooftop.
right wing websites.
As they fly by a rooftop, someone in shadow thinks to himself, "There they go. I should stop them. Tell them that the paratroop's latest recruit, Wild Thing, is none other than their old pal, George Mulaney, the Mutator." Oh my gosh.
It
Yeah, it's it
was
is
kind
our
of a
pal.
fun reveal.
Yeah, it is remember the last time we saw Mutator, he had that friend from the Bums versus Gangs fight that he was in. Someone he had he had saved, and then he saved him. That was Wipeout, I guess. Yeah, with the breath power. George kept mutating, and he has been in joined the paratroop, but Now he says, they may not care, or worse, make me rat on my new friends. Best guess it's best to do nothing. So he doesn't. Hey guys, like we're maybe what he
Falling in with a
expected.
bad crowd.
Poor George. George Mulaney. So Captain Manhattan says, costume crime fighting is pretty good, huh? Pretty exhilarating. Interested in joining me on a regular basis? Are you asking me out? Dave says it was fun, but he wants to, he may be leaving town, and it depends on what'll happen with a certain lady. Jenny invites them to the Christmas party. So an hour later, they are having their early Christmas party at the loft. The tree is all decorated, and the kids are all standing around Captain Manhattan. Charlie and Stephanie are talking. See the way Jenny can't keep her eyes off Mr. Tights? Bet you she's got a crush. See, so yeah, he's entertaining the kids. Randy's just thinking, this guy's quite the character. And
It looks like
Jenny's
he's
thinking,
kind of like trying to explain how his flight thing works, which I don't think I still quite get, but he's like, when I want to fly this way, and he's kind of pointing his arms.
yeah, I don't know if we'll get much more if details out of how his powers work other than but yeah, that the flight, like I say, it leaves all him and the people he took with him in like a standing pose instead of like the antibody flying pose, which is interesting. Anyway, Jenny is thinking that she is glad this captain accepted her invitation. Wonder if he'll ever feel comfortable enough around us to take off that silly mask. Or if he'd like to, do stuff while we're both wearing masks. That might also be fun. Anyway, Miriam's thinking, what's keeping David? He was just going to step out. Suddenly, Santa Claus appears. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Santa Claus is about 10 feet tall, weighs 500 pounds.
Aren't they making a movie about like a super buff Santa?
Dave, aka Santa, says, I don't hope you don't mind. I came a little early this year, but I heard you might be moving. I didn't want to miss you. So, he gives the kids various presents. There's a football for the boy, this doll, and something for one girl and the other girl. I love my Popples purse. Didn't you bring anything for our mommy? Matter of fact, I did. I have her one Stephanie for. Stephanie Harrington, a rental car agreement, set of keys, and a chauffeur. A feller by the name of Dave Landers said he'd be delighted to drive you the 1,000 miles back to Wisconsin. Stephanie jumps up and kisses Santa. I saw
Man.
mommy kissing Santa Claus.
I think two panels worth of kissing makes it making out with Santa.
Could be right. It goes all the way to the end.
It kind of ties back to like that the kids wouldn't kiss him goodnight because they were kind of freaked out by him, but he finally got the kid love by buying them stuff and pretending to be Santa.
Yes,
Which is
that's a lesson
coincidentally
for
the
all
only
of
time
us.
my kids like me is when I'm buying them something. Hey, stick
Even
with what
that won't
works.
work here anymore. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, her the boy Ben getting suspicious, but Charlie shushes him, and Captain Manhattan closes us out with a big toast. Merry Christmas, everyone. As
With
he.
his arm around Steph and with our Jenny.
Yeah,
Jenny's
what?
hand is a little low there too to be on the waistline.
Interesting. Randy's by himself, and Miriam is off in the corner with her hand facing her hands. Oh, David, I've lost you. The end.
Oh man. It
Well, that is a nice Christmas story, I gotta
is a
say.
nice Christmas story. The tree saved the day because
The
it
tr
he smashed the last remaining paratroop goons with it.
True. So I guess it was probably the Rockefeller Center tree. That was the tree, the title tree.
don't
I don't know.
know. I mean, you got the two trees fairly well represented in both cases, so.
Yeah, they don't really.
Just like
Yeah.
the idea of the tree, right? It brings the family together and crushes the bad guys or something. I don't
Okay.
know.
Let's see. Let's back up, go through some product placement. Popple's purse.
Popples, yeah, like
They're
some.
drinking Coke on the previous page. I know I saw a couple in here that I was like, Rockefeller Center, that's what, NBC or something.
Yeah, you get Burger King. Was there like U-Haul, I think, was in
You're right. U-Haul was like, then maybe a Ryder truck on the first page.
there? Yeah.
Nope, that's U-Haul on the first page. I swear there was another. Oshkosh Bagosh, of course,
All
the
right, yep,
clothes.
Oshkosh.
You catch that. The various band names, I don't know. Oh, is that Galaxian or something? And
I don't think that only has one X though, so it's something else. Like I couldn't quite place it.
there's a video game where the paratroop hang out.
Yeah. It
Black
seemed like cool
Shamrock,
then.
we'll assume, is not a real thing. Oh, right above Black Shamrock is the Ryder truck rifle.
Ah, there you go. I think there's like a Tony's Pizza or something somewhere too, but I'm not sure if that's the frozen
You're
microwavable or not.
right. You're
New York
right.
City, I imagine there could be a regular Tony's Pizza.
Usually says like original Tony's or you know.
This isn't that like Ray's, original Ray's and
That's right.
something?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, you know, didn't want to be sued, so.
I thought
Anyway, what do we think?
that was pretty fun. It was I think I said this already when we introed it in the other one, but it's like I kind of like that we're like issue 30 and almost done, and like, hey, let's just introduce a whole new set of characters.
Gruenwald, you know, can pull these things out of yeah, it's no trouble at all for him.
Yeah, and like Captain Manhattan appearing and then like instantly being like kind of a side love interest is kind of fun, and you know,
Like I say, Jenny is a little overheated from her days of in her own title. She Randy, she had this convo with Randy where she was like, I can't feel anything unless I'm like tied up and whipped or something. I go,
that's not exactly what she said.
maybe, I don't know. That's how it like went into my memory. I don't know. But anyways,
Yeah,
this was when they were putting him makeup on him, which I guess
I think
suggests
it's like
that,
she'd almost need to get like punched to register so she could feel something.
you explain it how you want, but it's.
The romance drama is great. I think that's. I wish there was just a little bit more. I would trade a couple action pages for more of the dialogue-y, you know, sappy stuff, you know, a little
I
more
gotta
of
say, I mean,
Charlie running away from Randy, and you know, a little more of, I think we got like the perfect amount of Miriam kind of in the background, just like realizing she's lost her you know, unspoken competition for Dave Landers, I guess.
that shot of her at the end is just so perfect for a romance comic, you know.
But yeah, it really is spot on.
Yeah, that it always impresses me that like you know, that Miriam is always drawn to be like competitive with Stephanie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's never like one's like, you know, always fat and unattractive or kind of just like a bad expression. She's perfectly attractive. I don't know.
Right.
So yeah, both of them always make a like a very well. Anyway, it's a good competition thing.
Yeah, like,
Jenny has completely forgotten her career.
it's almost a different character.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun. I always like, I'm not sure how much we'll get really, but they were kind of trying to set up New York as kind of like a big deal as a setting, right? So like it's kind of smoky and like a little bit starting to get a little worn down and abandoned, and people are wearing masks and stuff. And then we've got like named gangs that run certain parts of the city and like citizen superheroes kind of fighting back. So like the paratroop as kind of like the big guns and the skeevos. I always kind of enjoy that kind of stuff. Like I think that Batman comic way back in the 90s kind of did the same thing. Like they kind of divided up Gotham after Cataclysm or something, or maybe before, I forget. And there's all these different Gotham gangs, and the police were kind of their own gang, and they were all they drew some nice maps and stuff.
I think that's Grand Theft Auto, but okay.
I think it was the one there was like the earthquake or something, but the
Yeah,
comic
that
wasn't that
sounds
good,
right.
but I appreciated the like the big overhead view kind of thing. So maybe before the end we can get a little NYC map with whose turf is what.
Yeah, it is always a good question how much they're planning ahead. I mean, Gruenwald, could have had a whole, second generation Bible for the new universe at this point. All the books were kept talking about going to New York, so they could they like the inside text was saying, it's the city with the densest population of paranormals on Earth. So they're trying to get more of these characters there together so they can kind of bounce off each other. Makes sense in a way. Honestly, I mean, it would be fine if this was like the first comic book to do that. But when you're trying to originally distance yourself from the Marvel universe, and that's, it in a nutshell, it's like, that's the only thing, and is like this in the back of my mind going, move to New York City. Everyone's dressed up as a superhero. Okay, so apparently the big difference is the air is worse here, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. There's
It's
only one
like,
guy dressed up as a superhero.
yeah, I don't want to like set the pace. Like I say, I mean, it's it the guy in some ways seems too good to be true. Like
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking he was gonna like splatter that guy, but then he ended up just,
It
you
seems
know.
like there's some reversal or twist that should have come from him. I'm not sure it ever will.
Yeah, I'm not sure it ever will either, but
Not on this timeline.
yeah. Womp womp.
It's is yeah, they are definitely not slowing down. The effort is as good as ever. But yeah, like we pointed out on this first page, these guys are already looking forward to their next book. I don't know what to tell you.
All good things must come to an end.
I guess it is hard to like remember like a book that was like firing on all cylinders for like as long and consistently as this one,
It doesn't happen that often.
It
Usually,
is.
like, it gets passed off to a lesser creative team to kind of die.
Yeah, you would
Or you put Rodney Ramos in charge, and then the series ends.
exactly. I gotta say, it's a wonder to behold. I don't know. I do enjoy
A
like
Christmas wonder.
I do enjoy like the it's even through the 80s, you would still get movies and shows with like New York as it's already and as it's like a post-apocalyptic future, which yeah, those are kind of fun. I don't know. I mean, Mad Max like driving around and who caresville, like when it's all like right there in Lower Manhattan, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Gotta admit.
Also easier to film. All right, so before we judge the comic with the grade or the nuking or the pits. I want you to best, or from 1 to 10, what do you think of Captain Manhattan so far? 10 being the coolest, bestest new character ever, and 1 being complete and utter trash. Why is this in this comic?
Ah, the cynical side of me is probably going to take the day. He is somewhere like about a three.
Oh, dang. I was picking up a vibe, so I just wanted to quantify it.
I mean, he's got that sort of like boyish naivete, according to what we've seen so far, that was kind of charming in Jack Magna Conti.
Yeah.
Wait, is he
At least
Jack Magna Conti? In that
some
case, he's a 10.
Jack Magna Conti, depending on his writer.
His power is to fly and use force fields, right? No. Who told you
Maybe
that? I don't know. I saw it somewhere.
he leveled up due to extreme patriotism.
I mean, it is, I don't know. I don't want to be like the, British writer who's always cynical about everything. Hate superheroes. Wish they all dropped dead. I'm sure I'll write them for a couple of quid. Yeah, I'm sure. And here they tearing each other's head off. Subverted your expectations, didn't I? Anyway, how do I like Dr. Manhattan? I don't know. He's
Captain Manhattan.
oh, Captain. Well, that's somewhat
That's a
worse.
different naked guy.
Oh, when Jenny gets done with him. Anyway, he's no, I don't know. I think it's he's very milquetoast or something. He's just sort of like nice guy, whatever. And so it's like, I don't know where you're going with this. I would sort of expect some more,
Some
expectations
kind
to
of
be
interesting
subverted.
twists, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna get that. As he is, it's like in the ultimate three or something where they or well, the whole ultimate universe, they'd started off with like different costumes for characters and such.
Right.
And at some point they're like, instead of Doctor Doom looking like this new thing, let's just have him in that suit of armor from Jack Kirby's 1963. And you're like, boy.
Forget all these new ideas.
Yeah, you're just,
Notably,
and
of course, they rebooted the Ultimate Universe.
it's fine to sort of keep things on some on model maybe, but like when you're the point as it is with the new universe is of sort of forging in new directions. I mean, okay. Well, I'm open to seeing where it goes, but it's not something I'm like excited by.
Yeah,
So
the outfit is terrible. Like, I don't like the actual costume, I don't like, but it kind of would have been fun if it was a little more homemade, like when they
that's a
did
good point too.
Spider-Man,
That
the Sam Raimi kind of movies. Yeah,
When
it's too perfect,
Peter
yeah.
Parker's at the wrestling match, the apple with the bite out of it. I mean, talk about, oh, is that a product placement? Anyway,
Yeah.
the big I mean, the from the cover you see how like the regular DPs are in just regular clothes. Some of them are a little nicer than others, but yeah, I don't know. It seems like the sort of thing like the is gonna ha pride goeth before a fall kind of Oh, I thought I'd dress up as a superhero and save the day, and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they already kind of did that with Ken, so.
That's true. So
So
we'll
then,
see.
nuking or the pits? Nuking?
I definitely nukin. I mean,
Yeah, that's
A
easy.
minus
Has there been a bad DP7 issue? I don't think so.
there's been one or two that were like less, involving, but somehow everything sort of balanced out pretty well here. I was extremely pleased with the readability of this one.
Yeah. If anything, it falls a little bit into the trying to do too much trap that DP7 does, but it kind of works out, and they give me enough little tidbits of spicy romance parts to keep me happy.
So, do you want to hit the next issue picture or the Paranormale first?
I really like, let's go in comic order because we got mail, man, right?
All right.
It's mail time. Finally.
Woo! Wow! I'm really impressed with you guys. Okay, man.
Yeah, Ray Sizemore. What stood out to me in this one, at least, is that he also does not li didn't like the new-ish logo. It's like, also, no offense, I don't really like the now universe idea. It just doesn't sound right. Creative, yes, but it just doesn't roll out of my mouth the way new universe does. That was what I thought. Besides, what would happen to that phrase I've grown to love, new you guru? I don't remember hearing that anywhere. It must just have been a Ray Sizemore thing.
I don't know if one of the editors called themselves that or something. I
Oh,
don't know.
maybe. It's like, what would happen to the slogan? I mean, nuke me with the now doesn't have the same magic. Enough of that till the new
It's
use
like listening to
Steelers.
Andy twice in one. It's just like. Okay, enough of that. There you go. Oh, wait.
Just crushed all my hopes and dreams.
Sorry.
But yeah, like he actually made like some predictions. He had kind of talked about Randy's power being a little bit weak, though. I think honestly, like in modern terminology, they kind of nerfed Randy, though, like having a whole bunch of acting antibodies that were kind of semi-invincible and could punch things seems maybe a little bit stronger than what we got now with him.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when we went over this. Randy's antibodies fly, which Randy can do. They can also turn, they can ghost through walls and stuff. Randy
Yeah.
cannot do that. They are not any stronger than Randy, so he has not maybe increased his strength. And they can transfer memories from back to him. Which he's there, so you know what I
Right.
mean?
I mean, like when he kind of has that moment where he's like in a panic and like six antibodies popped out and really like
That's tr
bang on
true,
people,
yeah.
like that was pretty strong compared to like the little tiny ones.
Yeah, if he'd had a couple more that he could wrap around himself so he at least, increases his strength. That would definitely be an improvement as it is. Yeah, it does seem like he's lost like two out of three powers that they had. And that's just with one. He had multiple that could go out and
Yeah.
mass attack. The tiny antibodies he's producing, which he doesn't really use in this issue, is an interesting, I guess that'll cover the communication aspect, but I don't know. Still,
Yeah.
it's a little, you're right. His power level's gone down a bit. Ray was also impressed with AIDS. AIDS, huh? Quite a jump for the comic industry. Talk about your unexpected plot twists.
Yeah, I mean, it was 90s before it was 90s.
Yeah, he says he almost missed issue 19 and Star Brand 13 because he didn't recognize the new logos.
Right? The new non-existent logo.
The thing, the lack of the thing that made it pop on the shelf. Yeah, good
Yeah.
plan with that. So let's
Sadness.
see.
There wasn't anything super standout in the second, but I like the, again, kind of like agreeing with letter writers a little bit. The third guy's, although I don't care much for the backup features. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling it the same way. Though he did like how they kind of introduced features that sort of made their way into regular stories, like the family each kind of thing. So that kind of works. But those were like the good backup stories, I think, you know, when you could tie back into ES people or family each and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they definitely run a range of like interesting insight into the new you to space filling, I don't know,
Yeah, and then like
perfunctory.
another person again, he says, when will we see the ES people again? How about their own title? I think the team books have proven their worth in the new universe. And then you get the finally sort of sad message, like no plans for new you title right now, for a new you title right now, Charles. In fact, the fate of all the regular titles in the new universe line is up in the air due to flagging sales, and in all likelihood, we will be discontinuing the titles we now publish in favor of special formats like the highly successful The Pit. Stay tuned for further announcements. So, well, I think this is the first in comic mention that it's definitely over.
So this is a little more explicit even. I think we'll be getting to the these new titles, which I guess he's referring to the war. But yeah, the
Yeah, the last
sales
guy.
they
Oh, go
got for
ahead.
those prestige books was were pretty good. The Pit and the Draft had great fig sales
Right.
figures, from
Just
what we know.
the story was not.
They were very disappointing, and so you would think, well, if you came back with more of this, you would I wouldn't be that interested in it. So I don't know. We'll probably cover that, in when we get there. But for me, yeah, the looking back at the past, you've got also the what was it now? Shadowline books also went from like regular books to we'll just keep this going with a line of prestige books, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's just say that approach was never proven to be successful.
No. This last guy I liked, I mean, basically, like in the end, he asked like a zillion questions and we actually got kind of some decent, interesting answers for.
I was going to say, do you want, we could do like a back and forth, like one of us does the question, you the other does the answer.
The intro said I'm in charge of the letters page, so I'm just gonna have to say no to that.
Fine.
You talked enough. My turn now. All
Talked
right,
enough,
fine. You
slowly and
can
yet
keep.
barely audibly. What?
Right. You can keep grumbling your way through the letters page too. So we got, is
It's
Twilight dead?
we never saw Lenore's body, so who can be sure? I knew it.
It could be still alive. So in 26's entry, Mutator was said to have gained his paranormality in September of 88. No way. It was supposed to be 1986.
Yes, we goofed.
Indeed. Could you ask the people in Psi-Force if Mind Wolf from issue one is dead? Never really knew. That's what I wanted to know.
We could ask, but they may not even, may not, might not know either.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, was
And they
that
never run letters anymore.
who wrote those issues? It's been so long. But yeah, definitely not the current lineup. But yeah, so we'll never find out about Mind Wolf. When are the DPs going to be seven again between Femme Force, Paranormal Platoon Able, and the DD Teens? Will they ever be together again?
We've got four of the seven original DPs back together and two new ones. That still leaves us with one opening. Check out next issue.
See, that's why it works better to do the next issue next, right?
You're right.
So will we see Mr. Magnificent or Woodsman again? I hope so.
You just equate the Mr. Magnificent and the Woodsman.
Yeah.
Mr. Mag will be prominently featured in The War on sale in February.
Nothing about the Woodsman, I guess. Oh well.
Oh, well.
No woodsman. He's still in the woods. Six, I hope that Nightmask becomes a member again or gets his comic back. Will he?
No, but you can catch him in The War, too.
No. Will John Byrne stay on Star Brand?
Till the bitter end.
Yeah.
Weird how the word bitter comes up in that context.
That seems about right. And then will there be more crossovers?
Yes, the DP has appeared in Starbrand number 18, Psi-Force, and Justice 29 and 30, which featured a major crossover between heroes as well.
Right. And then I think Justice is trying to kill everybody now. Or
So they say.
we shall find out, I suppose. But yeah, like that was like a really productive letters page, if not necessarily what we wanted to hear at this point.
Yeah, we've gotten several people asking for more for the ES people, the DD teens. I mean, that's the thing. The DP7 is just constantly generating new people, powers,
Yeah.
teams.
I don't get
So.
the love for the ES people. People really found them interesting enough for their own book, but
I mean, it would have been worth a try if the new universe was more consistently successful, or where they could expand titles, or they could switch titles out. We'll cancel this and launch, something else to take its place. Well, that would have been a great for some of us.
would
I guess, yeah, the first letter also had like his idea was that the military training was going to give you us a title called Paranormal Strike Force or some such. And yeah, the last one noted the Paranormal Platoon Able. Got a couple of options for the military thing.
Yeah,
Thanks.
which presumably we're just waiting for the war for that to do something.
Yeah. So let's see, dig on into the next page, which has its own clues to the future.
What were you saying about whips and chains earlier?
Oh my. Yeah, that's interesting. You want to describe it for us?
All right. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's Scuzz perhaps hanging from a chain, but like with another woman hanging up, like so their bodies pressed together. She's got a rat tail and some ears. It looks like members of the gang from before,
I
maybe,
think
or
those are
just
the
the
Skeevos.
is
Yeah,
it the Skeevos hanging? It kind of looks like the
they're.
Skeevos have taken it to the other group. But anyway, it's like a lot of people hanging, a lot of chains, bondage. Dave Landers smashing through the wall.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah, totally. So yeah, it's definitely some interesting stuff happening here.
Yeah, if that's Scuzz, which seems pos quite possible. Girl, I at first thought was Acid Queen, but no, that's not her. Doesn't have a
Acid Queen
tail.
could be the one hanging in the top right for all we know. I don't know.
Yeah, the strange thing being there's a couple of figures hanging from the rafters, and we don't can't tell if they're alive or just like it's a meat locker, which is weird. I mean, the Skeevos were just like, teenage junkies, as they said in this one, so.
Yeah.
They also killed all the superheroes in Manhattan. Oh, that's great. Okay. Didn't see that coming. That's where we subverted our expectations. Scuzz, we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, presumably that's the wait till next issue.
Yeah, because when you look at the cover for this issue and you're like, DP 6+1, wait a second. I don't mind Captain Manhattan as much if he's an associated character. He's the woodsman, you know what I mean? If he's one of the DPs, well, we got some talking to do.
Sell down there.
All right.
All right. So before you blow a gasket about Captain Manhattan, I think that's it for this week's episode. Next time, check in on our overprotect or the new universe's overprotective father, Justice.
Justice number 30. What will be the final fate of Psi-Force? Well, that's up to Justice and the outcome of the battle inside his mind. Written by Peter David, illustrated by Lee Weeks, 32 pages, Mando paper. Direct sales, $1.50.
Yeah, in the
George.
meantime, again, that website, kickersinc.com, INC. You can email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
We couldn't have done that better if we practiced.
Guess it's best to do nothing.
I love my Popple's purse.
Bums away.